If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Ryan, I'm sorry about that.
No problem. We both look and sound a lot alike, so.
Well, that's an insult to Kim Gordon. I don't think you should take that. All right, Ryan will be back around at 12:30 to give us a look at the headlines. After the 12:30 headlines, we'll be joined by State Treasurer Mike Frericks. Are you the beneficiary of a life insurance plan and you don't even know it? Apparently, I didn't realize this, but there is millions of dollars in life insurance beneficiary money that the life insurance companies, some of them, a minority of them, haven't done so well at giving out, handing out. So Frericks is behind legislation to make that right. But first, Andrea Haines is in the studio. She is the editor of Blue Sky Innovation, comes by most Fridays. Andrea, welcome.
Thanks, Steve.
So it's earnings season, and I know Groupon reported their earnings yesterday. How are they doing today?
So Groupon did. They're not having a good day today. Their earnings report wasn't particularly bad. In fact, they beat expectations by a hair, but not having a good day today. Their stock has dropped back under $4. It's at about $3.80 right now, and that's not so good.
Now, we have such a weird relationship with Groupon, don't we? I mean, we want pulling for them, but they just seem to have a hard time. Every time they take a step forward, it's a step or two back.
Yeah, and right now they're spending a lot of money on marketing. They're hoping that's going to pay off, but investors seem to think it just might be too hard a slog.
And if things get really bad, they could turn to Avant for a loan.
Yes.
Now, this company is phenomenal to me. Avant, I want you to explain it, but let's start by saying that they are a unicorn, which is something I didn't know existed. I thought they didn't exist, the unicorn.
They are a unicorn. So the unicorn is the term for something that barely exists, which is a privately held company that's valued at $1 billion or more. So Avant is one of them in Chicago, one of just a few, and it is an online lender, which is marketed to people who have less than perfect credit.
Al Goldstein is the CEO.
Yep, founder and CEO.
So he goes out to people who can't get a loan from a regular bank, so they're a little more risky.
Exactly.
Gives them a loan at much higher interest rates,
yep,
but competitive in this,
yep,
business, right? And he's doing phenomenally well.
Yeah, it's doing phenomenally well. They're kind of between the bank and the payday lender is somebody like Avant, where they're taking that sort of different slice where the borrower may not qualify for a traditional bank loan. They need to do something else. So they're coming to a place like Avant to get a loan, and they're able to do that online.
Interest rates from 10 to 36%, but the story in Blue Sky says options for below-prime borrowers can reach much higher than that. So
they can. So, as a consumer, of course, you have to ask yourself if you need to pay that and want to pay that. But I think sometimes, it depends on the age of the person. You and I might remember some pretty high interest rates,
right,
in our,
right,
lifetimes. There,
yeah,
are others that look at it and say, oh my gosh, it's a high rate. It's of course a high rate, but of course if you're a high risk borrower.
So if he can do this and do it and make so much money so fast, right, billions of dollars so quickly, why aren't the bigger banks lending to these people too at higher rates?
So they're starting to get a little bit involved with companies like Avant, which is interesting. They have some bank partnerships on the horizon. I think on the whole, that's still not where they're at, but they announced a partnership actually with a bank that is now going to say to people that it can't make a loan to, why don't you try Avant?
A little pop-up screen.
Which is a little bit interesting.
And they're also, Avant then, going to come out with credit cards for people who can't get a regular credit card?
Yeah, they're planning a credit card this summer as a way to perhaps, smaller inroads to the customer that might not even be able to qualify for an Avant loan.
That's an interesting thing because you can look at it as they are, if you look at it negatively, you can say, well, they're really taking advantage of people because of the interest rates and these are people who can't get loans. But
yeah,
you can also look at them as angelic because here are people who have needs for money too. They're being shut out and they're giving them an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a tough issue because, as you said, you don't want to see people being preyed upon or being overcharged, and there's a lot of issues that can go into that. On the other hand, they need money too.
Right, they're not breaking noses, right?
Not that we know of.
No, I'm sure they're not breaking
news. There is actually, part of the reason for the story was just looking a little bit ahead. There is a lot more scrutiny coming for some of these online lenders. So we'll be watching closely to see what happens as that plays out.
Okay, so let's talk about hair dryers. Dyson, which has its North American headquarters in Chicago,
yeah,
is coming out with a hair dryer. Your hair looks wonderful today.
Why, thank you.
Did you use a $400 hair dryer?
I did not. I used probably a $30 hair dryer.
So this hair dryer is worth, they're going to charge $399 yep. for it. And as near as I can tell, the biggest selling point is that you can still talk to someone while you're using it.
I know. Well, it looks awesome if you saw the picture. It's like as typical of Dyson, like their vacuum cleaners. It has a very stylish appearance. It's lightweight. It's quieter. So it's trying to solve some of these issues. But yeah, if you're a Dyson vacuum buyer, you might be in love with the brand. If you're not, you might say $400 sounds crazy.
I'm thinking, well, I mean, I don't even have a hair dryer. I did when I was younger, and all the hair dryers in my life wouldn't add up to $400.
It's a high price point, but I think consumers have sort of stepped up to that. There's other brands out there that are, you know, $200, getting up toward $300. People have become a little more willing to pay for things like that, it seems, if they feel like they're getting value out of it.
Right.
I would personally say if it's going to last for years and literally change every day or every other day of my life, I might be able to make sense of that and make it feel like it was worth it.
Is that possible?
You know,
a hair dryer could do that?
You know, there are people that say they spend 20 to 40 minutes drying their hair. No, I don't. But if you do that every morning, you can kind of see how that could start to become a motivating factor. That's a lot of time.
I feel for all the husbands who finally get a moment of peace because their wife's drying their hair, and now they're going to have to talk to them anyway. Andrea Hainish, the editor of Blue Sky Innovation. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It is a Friday. Let's celebrate for that. The weekend is just around the corner. I know a number of people who are going to Wrigley Field today to take in the Cubs-Brewers game. Doggone it, I wish I was one of them. It's going to be almost 30 degrees, maybe 45 degrees. Tom Gimbel is here. He's the founder, CEO of the LaSalle Network. Comes by most Fridays and... you're ready to go to the ball game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's going to be cold. It's a good thing I actually enjoy the Cubs.
Right.
It's going to be, I don't know how pleasant it's going to be.
Well, maybe the game won't be over in the second inning, too.
Yeah, right.
So you can have...
Hey, with these guys, you never know.
I know. And, you know, I was on the air yesterday giving sports updates, and Arrieta had a very rocky first inning.
Yeah.
Bases loaded, and like, oh, here we go. It's not going to happen again.
And they do it 7-2, right?
Boom. It's 5-0 before you look up.
I was flying back... from California yesterday and during the game, and the flight attendant, when she was announcing where the gates were connecting,
uh-huh.
and she said, in gate K4, St. Louis, and then she goes, boom!
I love that.
That was great.
So while we're on the subject of sports, you know, the Chicago is sort of the center of the NFL world this weekend
right.
with the draft going on, and this Laramie Tunsil story, the
yeah.
kid out of Ole Miss, is a fascinating one, and you know you deal with hiring. We're going to talk about hiring today.
Yeah.
How does this relate to? I mean, how do you, as a guy who looks at potential employees, assess what he did? And tell us a little bit about what he did, too.
So the videos, apparently his Twitter feed and post social media got hacked, and there were pictures of him getting high, smoking what looked like allegedly marijuana, and also asking his coach for money. And from what I read, the article on the money thing is they asked him, a reporter asked him, and he said, yeah, I guess I did
ask
for the money. I think it's really such a bigger socioeconomic problem that the NCAA is facing and the NFL is facing. But as an employer, so many of our clients are Googling every candidate they meet, social media, looking at Facebook, looking at their Twitter feeds for signs of, for lack of a better word, stupidity and judgment. I think it's more judgment. I think NFL is a unique thing. Any sports league is because, you know, there's 32 teams and there's 53 people on the roster. That means there's 1,500 open positions. It's very specialized, and certain behaviors accepted and tolerated if they can perform at their jobs. And
well, he certainly can perform, right? Because he might have been a top pick.
Well, and he still was. And that's, I was talking to somebody about this for business today about it. He went from number one or two to number 13. I mean, he didn't drop to the sixth round.
So he'll be okay.
12 teams passed on him, not the whole league.
Now you bring up something interesting about employers, you know, Googling people and looking mm-hmm. for stupidity. Look, we're human beings. We're all stupid. We all do some stupid things. So has there been a movement away from that at all, or are we still as strict as we've always been?
No, I think there's been a little bit of a reality check that good people make bad decisions. Right. And if you, you know, you got to look in the mirror sometimes and look at reality. I think the hard part is if companies have certain policies that are in place or in certain departments, right? You may not want your salesperson having pictures of them drinking or doing drugs on social media. So there's that. It's more of a judgment than I think more than anything else.
But you can say, get those out of there rather than I'm not going to hire you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people need an education. Not everybody has the self-perspective to see how it fits. And we've right. talked that a lot about that a lot on the show. Is, you know, how somebody in one job may view it as a necessity, and another job it's an afterthought.
Tom Gimbel is with us from the LaSalle Network. You talk about when you're bringing people in, the importance of looking maybe at soft skills rather than at the resume of acquired skills. Explain that for me.
Well, I think when you're looking at corporate America, it's not the professional, it's not the NFL, right? You don't need them to be able to go out and catch passes. But you want quality people. And if there's certain, you know, if you're hiring somebody to be an accountant, there needs to be technical skills. If you're hiring somebody to do account management or administrative skills or sales, there's an innate ability of how you think and your thought process. And you can teach a lot of the on-the-job skills. So hire people who are hard workers, who have good work ethic, people who have similar senses of humor to what the staff has. And where their heart is really what's important.
The similar senses of humor, that's speaking to culture.
I think, you know, huge.
How do you know that a prospective employee who you're spending an hour with or two is going to fit into your culture?
Well, I think one of the most important things, and especially for small companies, is don't let it rely on the CEO or HR's decision. Have them meet 5, 6, 7, 8 people. Have them meet staff people as well as higher level people, because that's where you know if people gel.
So are you saying hire people you like?
I think it's important, yeah. For sure. I mean, a lot of people have always said, like, oh, I got fired for an unfair reason. They didn't like me. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you can get into legalities and why terminations are, but if you don't like somebody and that affects the work product, it affects the culture, that's a big thing.
That's shocking that I've hung on this long then. Tom Gimbel is here. Nice to see you. Enjoy the Cub game.
I appreciate it.
Why not enjoy the Cub game?
It's going to be nice. If you're going to be there, they might as well win.
Win big. They always do. The LaSalle Network, and you can see more at the LaSalle Network. What's the website?
LaSalleNetwork.com.
That's a good one. That makes perfect sense.
Thank you. We try.
You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Ryan. It's 12:37. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. My name is Steve Bertrand. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand or on Facebook. That's Steve Bertrand. I've got a page of Steve Bertrand on books, Steve Bertrand travel, all of it. You can find me one way or another. Okay, when we're done with this next interview, you are going to know all you need to know about the death master file. Who knew there was such a thing? State Treasurer Michael Frerichs knew there was such a thing, and he joins us on a phone line now. As Treasurer, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Steve, good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Nice to talk to you again. And, you know, I was reading from your office about this push for new legislation that would go after life insurance claims that apparently aren't being paid out the way they're supposed to. I think I read something like $550 million in life insurance plans, monies, that should go to Illinois beneficiaries that's just sort of sitting around. Explain for me how that happens.
Well, we struck a deal with about 20 of the largest insurance companies that made sure that about $500 million is now going out. But that's money that wasn't going out before, because insurance companies said they didn't have to pay unless a beneficiary came to them with a death certificate as proof that someone had died.
So the beneficiary...
In many cases, these insurance companies knew someone had died but made no efforts to contact the beneficiaries.
You know, my fantasy, Treasurer, is that someone's putting me in their life insurance plan as a surprise that I don't know about and that I'm going to be able to retire on that money one day. What do you think the chances are?
Well, better than you would have thought before, because
right.
I have called several people and let them know we had money that belonged to them.
Well, that's the thing.
I visited a church.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I visited a church on the south side. Two members of their congregation decided they wanted to do it anonymously. They wanted to give to their church after their death, and they set it up in their life insurance policies so that they could the church be beneficiary. They didn't tell the church this, because they didn't want to brag. They just wanted it after their death to leave something behind. And the insurance companies were aware that they had died, were aware of the beneficiaries, but since the church never came forward to initiate the claim, they never paid them.
So if you didn't know that...
Went in and audited them.
If you didn't know that money was coming to you or that you were the beneficiary, you might never receive it.
Correct.
Now, are we talking about all of the insurance companies, or is this a minority of them?
So this was the policy for years. Back in 2011, there was a national settlement with about 25 life insurance companies that sell about 70% of the policies sold in Illinois. And we now are going in. They voluntarily open up their books to us. We audit them. We compare the names of people who have policies against the Social Security's death master file. The Social Security Administration created this file of people who have died in this country to try and prevent fraud in things like Medicaid or Medicare. And we use that to compare, and if we see someone's name on the death master file that also has a policy, we contact the insurance company, and they have to make efforts to notify the beneficiaries.
So,
and the legislation would make sure that also applied to that other 30% of policies sold.
And the legislation is passed out of the House, right? Has it gone through the Senate yet?
It has not gone to the Senate yet. It's passed to the House pretty much right now. The General Assembly has taken this week off. Before this week, bills were going through their chamber of origin. We expect when they come back, those bills then will go through the other chamber. So we're right on schedule.
Another part of this bill, as I understand it, you tell me if I'm wrong, is that after a period of time, after, let's say, 5 years, if no one does claim this money, the insurance companies have to turn it over to you to help find the beneficiaries, or how does that work?
Yeah, so if they can't find the beneficiaries, then they'll turn it over to us. This is something we have experience doing. This goes into our iCash program. A lot of your listeners have probably heard about the $2 billion the Treasurer's Office is sitting on. We want to give back to the people of the state of Illinois. A lot of that money comes in from a last paycheck, a rebate or something of the sort that never got into someone's hands. That company can't keep that money. Just because you didn't cash that check, Steve, that was mailed to you, or maybe you didn't see it come to you, doesn't mean that company gets to keep it. It belongs to you. And if they can't find you, they give it to us. And then we publish these names in the newspaper. We advertise. We go out to various events because it's my job to get that money into the pockets of Illinois citizens. As a consumer advocate, it does more good in your pocket than it does in my vault.
There were a couple of times where I actually got checks. I think one was for like $25 and one was for $60 from old bank accounts, or I don't know what they were. So I benefited from this program. I appreciate that. But if
you should keep checking because we bring in new money all the time.
If you're an insurance company, you sell a policy and no one cashes in on that policy. If you've made a good faith effort to find the beneficiary and can't, there's no argument that you should be able to keep that money?
Me being the state?
No, the insurance company.
No, so the insurance company will even say, after the person has achieved their actuarially expected age of death, which is around 100, then they will eventually turn it over to us. But there are people who have life insurance policies who will die in their 50s.
Right.
And maybe they have young children who aren't aware of a life insurance policy. And if they don't collect it, that insurance company can hold on to it, invest it for 50 years, keep all the interest for it, and then turn it over, and we try and find the heirs. But if you hold on to those proceeds for 50 years or 30 years, it makes it even more difficult that we're able to find the intended beneficiary.
So if you think you might be a beneficiary, the best thing for you to do is to keep an eye on your list?
Well, so we have started doing this with several companies, about 20 companies who are auditing, but there's still several others out there. So if you check our list, that's no guarantee that someone didn't name you.
Hey, I want to ask you about something else while I've got you, because this is one of my favorite things that you do. This is this ABLE Act, and you know we talked about it several months ago when you were meeting with treasurers from around the country. But the ABLE Act, as I understand it, it allows for parents of disabled kids to set aside money in a way that parents of college-bound kids would. It accrues in their tax benefits for them to be able to have after the parents are dead. So in other words, you know, if you have a disabled child, one of your big fears is that you're going to die before them. Who's going to care for them? The ABLE Act allows for a way for them to grow money that will help in that care later. Did I say that fairly?
That is correct. The two big things about this program is, one, it allows you to grow your investments tax-free, so they won't have to pay tax on those things, and two, that money is sheltered up to a certain amount against federal limits. So on Medicaid or on Social Security, there are limits to how many assets you can have. These assets are sheltered against that, don't count towards those limits.
And so when last time we talked, you were working on best practices and things like that. Is the program up and running in Illinois?
Well, so it just passed last year. We are working on an RFP. What we found is this is a great program for a lot of families, but there aren't nearly as many families that are going to take advantage of this as families that take advantage of our college savings. And so in order to get an investment manager that is going to keep the fees low, we have to have economies of scale.
I see.
And so what we're doing right now is we're reaching out to other states and saying, why don't we work together to grow our pool? These combined numbers will be able to lower investment rates, management fees, in a way that is going to help a lot of families. And we're finding phenomenal success here with states you wouldn't normally expect.
Yeah, it seems like a great program that maybe a lot of parents are not yet aware of. And so I just love getting the word out on that.
Well, I appreciate your help with that. We're going to do a great job. There are a lot of networks that organizations are going to help us with this. Once we get this up and running, we're going to make a full-fledged blitz on this because it's so important to give families the tools to invest in themselves and their loved ones.
Well, you're welcome here once you're ready to give it that big push, Treasurer. Right. I appreciate it.
I look forward to that, Steve.
Michael Frericks, the Treasurer of the State of Illinois. Great to talk to you again. Thanks very much.
All right, Steve, you're welcome. Have a great day.
You bet. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It's The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. I do want to talk about that and have someone come in because there are arguments on both sides. I mean, if you live in the city, the metro area, you are slowed by trains and all of that. But like I said, I know farmers and family members who are caught in the middle of it. So we'll talk more about it. What's your collection? What do you like to collect? Baseball cards, maybe fake mustaches. I don't know if that's a collection, but it's one of the things we have passions for in this country. And then when it comes time to find out their value, a lot of times there's not a reliable outlet. Well, Michele Contile is out to change that. He is the proprietor behind Collector's Cafe, and he joins us on a phone line now. Michele, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hi, guys. Nice to have you.
All right.
Thank you for having me today.
Tell me about the Collector's Cafe. What exactly is this?
Well, on April 11th, 2016, just a couple of weeks ago, we launched the Collectibles Revolution, which is the Collector's Cafe, the first integrated social network and auction house to the world. Finally, after decades, there's a place where collectors can connect online, buy everything they want, and then most importantly, buy insured authenticity-backed collectibles underwritten by the largest insurance companies in the world. We finally have institutional organizations like Lloyd's of London, Hiscox, AIG, Chubb and Liberty Mutual backing authenticity of collectibles as commodities.
And you're the guy bringing this insurance to the industry?
I'm the one who invented the whole concept and then convinced the insurance companies to underwrite everything and back me.
All right, so let's say I have a book that I was told was owned by Abraham Lincoln or used by Abraham Lincoln when he was in Springfield, Illinois. What do? I take that to you and you authenticize it? Is that the word? You will verify it, or what do you do?
You would bring it to Collector's Cafe and one of our master dealers, who are all licensed appraisers or experts, would authenticate the item for you for free. If it's real, we would then take it and put it up on the website for sale under the dealer's relationship, and it would be insured by Lloyd's of London, Hiscox, to be real with a real insurance policy.
And so that's where I want you to make money doing this, but so that's where you make money, because I take my book to you with the idea that if you give it a degree of authenticity, then you have the ability to facilitate the sale.
Well, actually, we already have a massive amount of dealers who are using us as their exclusive distributor to sell their existing inventory. So most of the items on our website are pre-authenticated by the top dealers in the world and their inventory. But the public at large can also send their items in, have them authenticated, and post their items through the dealers as well.
And so you're not in Chicago physically, right? So how do I get my Abraham Lincoln book to you?
Just go to collectorscafe.com, click on the sell button, It'll direct you to your zip code, and we will have a dealer get in contact with you directly.
And the service that you're providing then is you're independent. You're not. It's not like I'm taking you my book with the idea of trusting you for a fair price. You're not going to buy the book from me. You're just going to tell me whether or not it's worth it.
Well, I'm going to tell you whether or not it's real, and then if you want to, if it is real, I'll put it up for sale on our website, backed by the only authenticity insurance policy in the world. So obviously, somebody who would be considering buying it would be buying it as an insured collectible, which is very, very important. Almost like buying a rare gem that's certified. Collectibles need to be certified to be authentic. So we believe your collectible, once it's authenticity insured backed, is worth far much more money than it is without it.
And then you get a cut of what I would have gotten for the book?
Correct. Okay. Well, there, like most auction houses, there's a buyer's premium that's paid to the company, and we're no different. Now.
Sure. No, hey, it's a business. I'm all for you. I just want to understand it. All right, that's cool. I appreciate the learning about it. Again, if people want more information, where do they go?
Well, they go to collectorscafe.com, www.collectorscafe.com. And real quickly, we discovered and own the Jackie Robinson contracts that broke the color barrier.
Nice.
And unveiled them to the world 2 weeks ago. And we are on a Jackie Robinson Freedom Tour, which just left the New York Historical Society, that is now going to Toronto, where we're going to be showing off the Montreal Royals contract, where Jackie first started playing minor league baseball. So we're so excited to be bringing these contracts to the American people for the first time in 70 years. You'll be seeing us all over the country with the Robinson contract, and then you'll be hearing from us soon on our Collectors Cafe TV series, which will be coming soon to a cable channel near you.
Michele Contile, I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Real pleasure.
This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.